Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. As always, I've got so much to jump into today. We're going to try once again to fit a three-hour program into 56 minutes, if we can do it. No, not really. I've had some people lately say, look, you're getting, I've had some that said, you're getting a little mellow. And I've had others say, hey, you're getting excited and you're talking too fast. So I'm not really sure where to go with all that, other than I need to slow down to make sure I cover the things that I want to cover today precisely and leave off the other things for another day. We are going to talk about the debate this week, if you can call it that, because they're not debating each other. All the Democrat candidates were simply debating somebody who wasn't there, namely President Trump. But we are going to talk about that, and then we are going to focus on the singular issue. I mean, if there's one issue that rose above all the others in the debate, which was climate change, they had all the questions about climate change or alleged climate change, and then it sort of didn't matter what the other questions were. Somehow they all kept coming back and working in climate change, right? I mean, Kamala, however you want to say her name, Harris, who I have said from day one, mind you, I still think she's the most dangerous person up there. She's up from day one has been the one that I've been the most concerned about. She can be eloquent when she wants. She can be tough when she wants. She's sort of like a female Barack. She is not above Warren and Sanders and Biden at this point, but she's the one that I actually have the most concern about rising up. However, we do start with good news. And the good news here today is that everything that we're going to discuss is actually covered in Scripture. It really is. I mean, to one extent or another, and especially when we get to the climate alleged climate change, which of course we don't use climate warming anymore because the climate isn't always warming. And if it were, then we would use continuously the word climate warming or the phrase climate warming, right? We would do that, but it isn't in all places. They pick and choose where they want to have climate change analysis. They skip the places where the warming isn't occurring, focus on the places where it is occurring. And of course, the only evidence for climate change is whatever is happening now, right? Like the old Flip Wilson thing. Love Flip Wilson. When he was a pastor of the church of what's happening now. I love that shtick, still do. I've watched it a few months ago on YouTube. Anyway, we're going to get rolling here because the Word of God does cover all of this. And I'm going to splice in Scriptures where appropriate, actually where necessary. And if you want to reach me, you can info@redskyradio.net, info@redskyradio.net. So let's get rolling. Okay, the debate, loosely so-called, I think I turned it off three or four times. I actually did not make it quite all the way to the end. I looked for the football game, the Thursday night football game. I don't know why we didn't have it. I just said, look, I'd rather see the football players beat up on each other than everybody beat up on President Trump, because that's all it's about. And as I've said before, you can usually summarize these debates in about 10 or 11 points. Number one, we hate Trump. Number two, climate change is an existential threat. Number three, we hate Trump. Number four, we need gun control. Number five, we hate Trump. Well, you see, you get the pattern. It begins with and ends with we hating Trump. So I want to, well, okay. So I turned it off three times and I kept turning it back on. I thought, all right, I can't really do this program without knowing what I'm talking about, although that hasn't necessarily stopped me before. However, I almost had to just go get a bedpan or something to keep next to my chair in case I wanted to hurl, which came up quite frequently, frankly. I just could. There were times I was started to yell at the TV set. That's not healthy. I said, okay, chill here. These people, I've got to put everything into perspective, and here's what I'm going to do. I want to put last night's debate into perspective, summarize it, and get down to what I think is the one defining issue, which is a rallying cry, and that is the climate change thing, because, of course, they don't have the economy. So whatever happened to the Bill Clinton thing? It's the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid. That's what the Democrats have run on forever, until they can't make it about the economy because they don't have that tailwind. They don't have that. So that's why they're getting crazy. Let's see how far they can go left. But here's the takeaways, which I've roughly broken down into seven items, and I'm going to move through them quickly. Number one, you have to remember, you must remember that at this stage of the game, they are not campaigning to be president. They're campaigning to be the Democratic candidate. Keep that in mind. Now, whoever gets this will come back to the right. They have to. They cannot continuously be the left-wing whack jobs that we see up there from the left side to the right side. Right? With the exception of maybe Joe Biden, I got to actually kind of feeling sorry for him a little bit last night. And I'll just throw this out because, you know, he's had to lurch to the left reflexively. I don't think he's truly on the left. I think he's a fake leftist. He's just trying to hang with a crowd that's running hard to the left. And he could be easily and quickly brought back to the right, in great part because he probably won't remember what he has said before. We know that, right? Because he's talking last night about kids need to go to bed listening to the record player. I just sort of imagine all the Democrats who are supporting him kind of cringing at the old record player. Yep, let's throw that 33 on the old Victrola, and we'll just listen to that till we drift off to sleep. Joe, that's not how things are working anymore, but God bless you for a throwback there, I guess. But the other part I felt sorry for him for dealt with his opening speech, and it was the number one thing he said. I don't know if you remember the number one thing he said, the first thing I'm going to do if I get into office, that's what they all start with, right? The first thing I'm going to do. None of them said the first thing I'm going to do is blow my nose if I have a cold. The first thing I'm going to do is kiss my wife, kiss my husband, whatever. No, the first thing they're going to do is this, that, or the other thing. Well, he said the first thing he was going to do was to launch the support for Alzheimer's and other medications to make them available to seniors. Now, trust me, folks, I have dealt with a number of people in my law practice that have had Alzheimer's because they're gone, have it, they still got it, or it's encroaching. It's coming. It's just it's a fact in some people's life. I am not making light of it, far be it from that. But I did think it was interesting that his first action in office would be an attack on the very thing that's causing him for his presidential run to be at risk, because the guy's kind of losing it. So his first thing is going to be to attack the thing that might keep him from becoming president. I'm not sure in the 1 year plus he's got that much time. He is slipping and he's going downhill. Okay, number two. Remember the first one is they're campaigning to be a candidate, not to be president. Just remember that. Number two, you know how far the left has lurched when Bernie Sanders is now sort of somewhere more in the middle, right? I know that he looks like and increasingly acts like Who was a guy that played the old wild man with the wild hair in Back to the Future? I can't even think of the guy's name right now, but that's who he's reminding me of. But with more angst as he points his finger down and is just chill, Bernie. But everything he says is a mess. I mean, there is a reason Bernie Sanders' initials are BS, right? Okay. Number three, I've actually kind of called this, but I don't think Joe Biden is going to hold up. I know he was the favorite, has been, still is in the lead because he's safe, Joe Biden. But number three, I don't think with these gaffes from last night and the more that will undoubtedly pile on that he can hold up. I just really don't think so. Look, he's got to make it to January 20th, 2021 is when he'd be sworn in. I just don't think he's going to hold up. Number four, and this should probably be numbers one and two, are two biblical verses that have reference to last night. The first one dealing with the from Proverbs says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. And the number two, and maybe more relevant yet, is when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. I simply have to say, if anybody up on that stage becomes president, we're screwed. I mean, we're not in the sense that God is going to be with us and he's going to provide for us because he'll make a way through the tribulation to provide. Heck, he fed Elijah with a raven, right? All right. I mean, he had a raven bringing you food is better than DoorDash or any of those other food delivery services, right? He can do that. He will do that. What did the Lord say through David? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. There are no Christian beggars. God provides, and he will provide. But anybody up on that stage who's president is an absolute completion or a confirmation of this nation wholly and totally turning its back on God. If that happens, it is going to be one wild ride, and it's going to be an exciting ride dealing with a bunch of little antichrists running around and sort of maybe indirectly connected with the antichrist. I guess they kind of are, right? If you're on the dark side, you're part of that same spiritual force from the nether world. Not another world, a nether world. Well, number five, we need to pray that doesn't happen. Because we are on the verge of becoming, as I said, a Romans 1 people. A Romans 1 people. Romans 1 says that they refused to retain the knowledge of God in their conscience. Now, you read the rest of that passage, you see that the people who did that, the first thing they did that happened, sorry, you guys, but it was heterosexuals started practicing homosexuality. And who knows, maybe you had clingers in there and some trannies. I don't know. But the heterosexuals turned into homosexuals. And then there's a whole bunch of other bad things that kind of took those people to hell. But the fact of the matter is, if we no longer retain God in the knowledge of God in the conscience of this nation, we will be a Romans 1 nation. It will go the way that the people went in Romans 1. Number six, this blows me away. I really, really missed Marianne Williamson. I really did from this debate. I mean, this goofy, likable, sort of lighthearted whack job who's always bringing some megawatts of new age energy direct from the nearby yoga center into the debate has now become the lighthearted person, the refreshing respite on the Democratic field. More on that when we return. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. Do not go away.
Well, hey, how are you? Welcome to Red Sky Radio. I am the tech guy, and consider this a PSA. I want to quickly tell you how you can get all the episodes. You can go to darkskyradio.com, Once you get there, go towards the right. You'll see on the menu page a Red Sky Radio tab. Click on that tab, and voila, there you are. There's a media player. You can go through and listen to all the past episodes. You can go through and download all the past episodes. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, what you'll find is a Google Play button. You can click on that and subscribe to this radio show via Google Play, or to the left, you can go to iTunes, and that button there will take you to a new page, the Podomatic page. You can subscribe right there and listen. You can scroll down on that page to the right and find the iTunes subscribe button. Thank you so much for listening to Red Sky Radio.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio, picking up on the 7 takeaways. I was finishing up there with number 6. My finding myself longing for Marianne Williamson to be back up on stage. I mean, everybody up there has various degrees of mean streaks. I mean, they all love killing kids in the womb, apparently. They all are fine with taking away our guns. They're all are fine with queer this and queer that, which leads to premature death. It's just kind of the death squad. Well, if nothing else, Marianne Williamson would be some sort of levity, some sort of comic relief that is necessary to turn this thing into a semi-palatable event watching the debate. I miss that girl, even though she's, I think she was sponsored by Oprah Winfrey, which is kind of, like I said, the new age vibe that she emits. But number 7, which I've really already referenced, is that the key point raised, which we're going to go into some time on this program, because I'm just going to pick the one issue that seemed to emerge more than others. Although I'm going to pass through the gun issue lightly today to get to ultimately the issue that seemed to be the issue that dominated things, and that was climate change. And we're going to look at it from a biblical standpoint. We have talked about this in the past, but it's been a long time. We have tens of thousands of new listeners since the last time I touched on this. So bear with me. But I do want to stop briefly at the Second Amendment booth on the way to climate change. And I want to state what I think was the actual most honest moment in the debate. Well, actually, it may have been the only honest moment in the debate. That's actually probably more accurate. And it came from Robert Francis O'Rourke, that fake Mexican from Texas, who in the gun control thing says, hell yes, I'm going to take their AR-15s. Now, I like that he said that. I'm thrilled that he said that. And here's why. Because he was finally being honest. The mask is off. We have known for years that the Democrats hate the Second Amendment because the Second Amendment is keeping them from turning this country into the socialistic dictatorship, the likes of which all those before us who have confiscated guns have ultimately landed in, from whether Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Idi Amin, Kim Jong, whatever, Pol Pot, Fidel Castro, go right up and down the line. When you confiscate guns, you only confiscate them from the citizens. You don't confiscate them from the government. And who has killed more? Where's the greatest number of innocent victims of gun violence? Citizens, having been slaughtered by their own governments. So I appreciate Beto Robert Francis O'Rourke's blowing the top off this, no pun intended here, off the issue and just coming out unmasked. Now, I know what he's doing. He's trying to still, everybody's trying to out-left each other. And this is the latest out-lefting that he can possibly do, is I'm going to take your AR-15s. Well, I'm glad for the honesty, because we've known forever that that's what they want to do. They want to disenfranchise us of our Second Amendment right. The AR-15 is a great gun. I love AR-15s. Personally, I think everybody ought to have one. I really do. And here's why. You've heard me say this before, but it is worth repeating. When the Second Amendment was passed, it wasn't to ensure our right to join Ducks Unlimited. It was never about hunting. Hunting was a way of life. Everybody hunted because that's how you ate. We were not vegans. We weren't vegetarians. We were largely a carnivore society. And doggone it, I hope we keep it that way. I like my beef. I like my cheeseburgers. I like my fried chicken. I like, well, whatever. You got the idea. So, why should everybody have one? And I'm saying that a bit loosely. They're actually a very fun gun to shoot. They're a very powerful gun. The reason the Second Amendment was passed was so that the regular citizens had an equal means of defense against a totalitarian government. Yes, it's there to protect ourselves, but to keep and bury, the right to keep and bury, but to keep and bear arms, you can house them and you can carry them around, is ultimately to be able to defend us against an overbearing, obtrusive, invasive, totalitarian government, the likes of which our founders had just gotten done shaking off. It was understood you had the right to protect yourself. Duh. I mean, who doesn't have the right to protect yourself? But the whole thing was not so that as progress in the evolution of guns occurred, if you will, that we would still be stuck with 18th century muskets, that we're stuck with pea shooters, and that's the extent of our Second Amendment rights. No, the rights of the citizens need to be commensurate with the army or the police force, because that's the only way you could defend yourself if there were an overarching, overbearing, obtrusive, totalitarian, gun-suppressing leadership under a pack of Democrats who are really socialists. Because they don't want you in control. They don't want the citizens really, truly in control. They'll stir up the citizens to put themselves into control, but the citizens won't have any control after that. They never do. Obamacare, it wasn't about health care. It was about control. Same thing as Adolf Hitler. First thing he did was nationalize the health care in Germany. Why? Because you can get a hold of people's health care. You got control of them. Not unless you believe in Jesus for a healing, and that's what it's going to come down to. Gun control, it isn't really about gun violence, it's about control. It's always been about control by Democrats. They are the most fascist of the fascists around, and Donald Trump is the least. Fascism, the control over other people's lives, what is he doing with that? He reduces taxes, he reduces regulations, he's trying to have competition among the insurance companies and minimizing the impact of the Unaffordable Care Act. What's fascist about reducing government control over all these facets of life? Nothing. It's just the hypocritical crapola that we hear with great frequency coming from Democrats. So, before I get into the global warming business, one more thing. In response to Beto's comment where he said, quote, hell yes, I'm going to take your AR-15s, Briscoe Kane, a Texas representative, said, my AR is ready for you. Now the FBI is investigating Briscoe Kane, the Texas representative, for allegedly making a threat against Robert Fake Mexican Beto O'Rourke. Did he threaten him? No, of course he didn't. It's in response to, but this is the way the media twists things. I mean, listen to this. So O'Rourke says, we're coming to take it. Although in an earlier thing before the debate, he said, we won't have to take. This is sort of the stupid moment of the week, although there's a lot of them. He said, we won't have to come and take people's AR-15s because he was confident that people will voluntarily surrender their weapons. This is an interesting statement coming from some schmo from Texas. He knows nothing about Texas history. He apparently knows nothing about Colonel Fannin in the era of the Alamo, who, believing that Santa Ana, it was a different Mexican general, would treat them nicely for surrendering their guns when, in fact, the Mexican army went on, after they surrendered their firearms, went on to just simply slaughter them in a place called Goliad. Hey, Beto buddy, why don't you go understand your own state history? And I might add that the Mexicans went on to destroy and actually just slaughter three other divisions of Texans, which I might add included Mexicans in the Texas divisions, okay? So don't be like that. Don't be like the Jews in Germany that just surrendered everything and got on the train somehow thinking they really were on their way to taking a shower. The left has always been bibliophobic. They hate the Bible. The left has always been Christophobic. They hate Jesus Christ. They're Elohimophobic. They're El Shaddaiophobic. They're afraid of God. They hate God because everything that emerges from God's word convicts them of their sin, and they don't want to repent. So there you are. All right? That's kind of what's going on. I mean, it is truly the stupid moment. I'm feeling like I'm judging the guy here, calling him stupid, because sometimes I can get stupid. I don't deny that. I can say things. I mean, okay, we need a light moment here. A light moment. Have you ever heard of these people that say, you know what, I wanted a word from God, so I just threw the Bible down on the desk and figured that wherever it opened to was a page for me? I did that once, just once. And the first thing I saw was Proverbs 30, verse 2, where it says, surely I am more stupid than any man. Well, okay, got it, God. All right, maybe I should back off on how I frame people here. But there is this, you know, we Christians, given the power of love and a sound mind. All right, well, you know, let's apply the sound mind. Why can't we do that? Of a sound mind embracing the things of God. But you know what? You've got a Romans 1 people that are developing. They're pushing the knowledge of God out of their conscience. They don't want to retain God in their conscience. Everything is an offense. My goodness, Drew Brees, love this guy. 15-minute video encouraging kids to take their Bible to school, and the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ movement rises up and are yelling and screaming at him and contending that he's homophobic and blah, blah, blah. Well, what's with these people, the ones that Hezekiah and others threw out of the land of Israel, and God said that Hezekiah had done everything that was right in his eyes? Look, it's the same old deal. It's a force of evil against a force of righteousness. As I said before, we will always be in the majority spiritually. We will always be in the minority physically. We'll never have the numbers, folks. So forget about, do you think it was a majority of Christians that put Trump in office? No. He had a lot of Christians, but he had some losers that don't know the word that voted against him. But yeah, and there are a lot that voted for him. But if it was only the Christians that voted for Donald Trump, we would have Hillary Rodham, spelled R-O-T-T-E-M, Clinton, in office. We would. David, his band of 600 men while he's on the run from Saul. Scripture makes it clear. He had some men that were very faithful, and he had a whole bunch of malcontents, people who were just kind of ticked off. There were a lot of people that were supporting him that would not necessarily have lined up in support of the God of Israel. It has always been that way. You know what? It was David against Goliath and all of his brothers, actually, who were lurking somewhere. It was Jonathan and his armor bearer against all the Philistines in that acre of field, or half acre, I think it says in Scripture, and slew them, right? It was Gideon with 300 against all the Midianites. God doesn't share his glory. So don't think we're going to get there with a majority of Christians on any issue. Christians will lead the charge. God will move people to back the Christians, people who are not saved, do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're going to find themselves attracted for reasons they can't explain to men and women of God, and will support them. But we never win with a majority in the natural. But have your eyes opened, as Elisha said to his servant, show my servant, O Lord, those that are with us are greater than those who are against us. And all those chariots of fire out there, oh man, that just gets me excited, man. Boy, oh boy. Well, okay, let's move along. I got a half an hour to cover this other topic, and that is the whole climate change issue. And this is a segment of the program where I'd like to think that logic and history and a sound mind embraces the Word of God. Because people are, Barack Obama, every single State of the Union address would say, oh, we got global warming, until it wasn't warming anymore. Then he just changes to climate change. Well, he said that he demanded that the debate be over. Well, how can the debate over climate change, allegedly so, or global warming, whatever you want to call it, how can it be over if you keep changing the definition of what it is? And obviously, you got to keep changing the definition because it isn't happening. It's sort of like, okay, sorry, I'm going a little fast here. It's sort of like the state of California demanding that all the schools subscribe to the truth of evolution. But every 5 years, having to rewrite the textbooks to change what evolution supposedly is or what evolution supposedly has done. If it's a fact, it doesn't change every 5 years, California. No way. You got to keep all California textbooks say about this is whatever the cause of the beginning of life is, we know that it's not the biblical version. That's all it's about. It'll be anything but the Bible. And that's why they can change around and then their definitions, but then contend that what they've just said is the truth. Sort of like papal infallibility. What the Pope says is absolute truth. But he also reserves the right to change his mind. Kind of like that. All right. So people demanding the debate is over. So if the facts are that compelling, then what's at risk in taking our time to verify the truth? The government has spent billions, and I mean billions, not to find the truth on so-called climate change, but to prove climate change. I'm serious. Science is driving politics. Politics is not driving science. Every person, every scientist for any state that challenges the global warming orthodoxy gets fired. Any professor who doesn't drink the Kool-Aid doesn't get a grant of money to study the matter. See, the people give grants to prove something, not to not prove or disprove something. So the political consensus does not equal scientific fact. Just understand that. And if you wanted to test this theory, let's have some government grants that will go out to disprove climate change, to disprove it. And you'll have a whole bunch of people who will disprove it because they'll chase the government money. Well, you know, I remember, and now they're talking about all these, okay, we got all these hurricanes coming, Cat 4s and Cat 5s that are in the queue coming across the Atlantic. All this is proof of global warming, blah, 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 the same old crapola. Well, you remember about, I think it was Hurricane, oh boy, I can't even remember my hurricanes, but it was about 10 or 12 years ago. Was it Andrew or something? Anyway, it devastated South Florida. I mean, not the one from last year, which I can't remember these names. But anyway, it devastated Florida. And they went on to say we can expect a ton of these because of global warming. And there was this one guy who owned all these hotels and who sued the Weather Channel, which is really the all global warming channel, but sued the Weather Channel because they were ruining his business because of all the hotel cancellations for the ensuing year that arose because they said this is the first of many. And guess what? Florida had nothing virtually hurricane-wise for close to a decade. until up to last year, 2 years ago. And then the audacity of these people who lie said, well, actually, it's the absence of hurricanes. I remember this. I wish I had the piece of paper in front of me. I saved it somewhere. That it's the absence of hurricanes that proves the existence of climate change. So that's why I said earlier in the program, what is the real evidence of climate change? Whatever is happening now. Whatever's going, what's the Churchill, what's happening now? Whatever's happening now is their only proof. And then when it changes, that what's happening then will then become the evidence of climate change. So they just, and the claims keep getting wilder and wilder. Look, I pulled out some notes from a program I did 2 years after we started. So it was late 2006, early 2007, and I briefly touched on the whole climate change thing, but I referenced in there, and I'm not going to get into it, it's going to take too much time, the person who 3 and 4 years ago, all these scientists have said we had 10 years to live. Well, that would have made it 2002, 10 years is 2012. Guess what? We're going along famously here, Jack. We do not need your hyperbole and your drama to try to overwhelm what is actually indicates as an impossibility from, guess what? The Word of God. So we got the American Association of the Advancement of Science, sometimes, in my opinion, an oxymoron, that says that the CO2 in the atmosphere is higher than it's been in the last 650,000 years. Right. So what was the medieval warm-up? That part, you know, back in the Middle Ages when Northern Europe warmed up and people moved north. It was how much of Northern Europe and why it was settled. You see, in some respects, if there is global warming, it's a blessing. Because if as the oceans warm, that means the water is going to, in the ocean, evaporates quicker, which means that you get more rain in places where it doesn't have rain. And I don't have this story in front of me, but I did this, oh, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, this area in the Sahara that was actually thankful for what they concluded was global warming, because for the first time in recorded time, they were getting rain in a desert that had no rain. Also, with a world's population expanding, would we not need more tillable, arable land? And what would do that? Well, pushing the warming, the growing season farther north so that you're no longer limited to hunting moose in Saskatchewan. In northern Saskatchewan, southern Saskatchewan, you got wheat, but maybe the growing opportunities expand to suit a growing world population-wise. There's all kinds of things that if global warming were true, then it would actually or could be a good thing. Now, consider the fact that, you know what, I got to skip that. I got to stay on track here to stay on time. So here's what it comes down to. And we're going to get into the Bible verses in a minute. This is the bottom line of the whole climate change crisis, which they contend is an existential crisis in last night's debate. In fact, you heard it. The 9/11 Senate hearings a couple days ago, the 9/11 made no mention of radical Islam, the Islamic whack jobs that destroyed us, and the Islamic whack jobs that went on to shoot us up in, where, Chattanooga? Oh, yeah. Oh, well, how about Fort Hood? Well, yeah, that's right. Oh, Orlando? Okay. San Bernardino? Well, they don't talk about that. They don't talk about radical Islam being an existential threat. No, they talk about climate change being the existential threat. I mean, it is just, it's unbelievable how gutless and devoid of a sound mind. Tell me, is that a better way than saying stupid? I guess devoid of a sound mind, some the Democrats really are. Now, are all the Republicans great? No, by no means. Somebody asked me one time, said, you know, if Jesus were here, would he be a Democrat or Republican? And I said, well, you know, for sure he wouldn't be a Democrat because he wouldn't support everything that his word condemns. I said, but he actually wouldn't be a Republican because I think the Republicans are too liberal for Jesus. They're still off the mark. Jesus would just be based on the Word of God, would he not? And the Republicans have moved left away from the Word of God on a host of things. You got all these pro-choice Republicans. You got the pro-queer marriage Republicans. You got the Republicans calling for us to surrender our weapons. All right? Well, here's the deal. We don't have an existential crisis in the context of climate change. We have an existential crisis in the minds and the hearts of the people. So that when Beto O'Rourke says that he's going to come and take your guns, and another person says, this congressman says, my AR-15 is waiting for you. And then they're investigating not the one who is planning to confiscate guns contrary to the Constitution, but they start investigating the one who made no threat against Beto. He just said, my AR-15 is waiting for you. It's not coming after you. I'm not pursuing you. Okay, I'm running out of words. I want to use stupid moron. Okay, I'm not coming after you. It's waiting for you so that when you do something grossly illegal and unconstitutional and you come to take my guns, my AR is waiting for you to defend myself, because we have the right to use the weapons comparable to what the Constitution contemplated when the Second Amendment was passed, to be able to oppose government oppression, which is exactly, Beto, what you are shooting for. No pun intended. But when this is where the existential crisis exists, is in the minds and the hearts of the people of this country. Not all of them, obviously, but a whole lot of them. So why is this the crisis of issue? They've got all these other crises. Oh, that's the gun control, the gun violence, and blah, blah, blah. And we got the poor people here or there and this and that. But no, it all comes back to the climate change thing. And here's why. You cannot have a global government without a global crisis. It is really that simple. You cannot have a global government without a global crisis. You can't have a one-world government without a worldwide catastrophe or prospect of a catastrophe for people to come together, not to fight each other, but to allegedly fight against this thing called climate change. I mean, is it climate change is the existential threat? Climate change isn't threatening anybody. We are the people. I mean, the way they talk about it, you would think, okay, we just got a news report. We've got five different climate changes approaching the West Coast where there people take cover. The climate change is on its way, and take cover because those five climate changes are going to be here. Come on, existential threat. You know what? I got to move off from that. It's just such lame brain, nonsensical, brain dead, Democrat drivel. I ran out of adjectives for that one. But you can't have a global government without a global crisis. And this is how you get power over other people's lives. You have them surrender their sovereignty for a fake crisis. That's how you get control over their resources. That's how you redistribute the wealth, and you gain control over everyone. But I love Psalm 2, verses 4 through 5. He, God who sits in the heavens, shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Oh, I love it. God is laughing at this nonsense of man. I'll be right back. Rob Walter, don't go away. Red Sky Radio.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
This is Rob Walter. We're back with Red Sky Radio. I'm going to try to fit in something here. I'm at risk of not being able to finish this topic, but I got to fit this in, this amazing irony, the mutually exclusive nature of global warming and evolution. I want you to think about this for a second, because we're right. We're putting on our sound minds today, right? This is where the sound mind embraces the word of God. They say a 1 degree warming trend over 100 years, with cooling trends in between, of course, is they say that that is significant in a short lifespan, if you will, of the world. If evolution were true and we had these warming trends for the billions of years, we would have fried folks a long time ago. We would have fried all the way back to the dawn of man. Well, the dawn of man is what? Somewhere between 6 and 10,000 years old. But they won't admit to a biblical basis of the concept of the human experience on this earth. No, they say it's billions and billions of years old and man has been around forever. Well, if global warming had been occurring because of the activity of man, because Abraham's camels were just emitting far too much methane, and because he had a lot of them, right? Okay, let's not have camels anymore. Well, we would have fried due to global warming a gazillion years ago if this world were a gazillion years old. So if there were any truth to global warming, it would have to only be under a young new earth theory. Ponder that. Okay, let's get moving here. But what does the Word of God says? Say, we know we are stewards. I'm not in favor of pollution. Don't get me wrong. We're stewards and we can pollute the world just like we can pollute our bodies. We can pollute our minds, and all of it has consequences. But I need to tell you, God does understand the nature of fallen man. And he's made great promises for all of mankind, special ones for those who love Jesus Christ as their Lord. But consider, first of all, Genesis 8:22. This is a promise God made to all of mankind, all of mankind. While the earth remains, okay, this is to everybody, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. End of story. God spoke. That's it, folks. We're not going to run. We're not going to have the droughts that are going to wipe everybody out due to just generic man-made global warming. Droughts have a different origin for the most part. No, God has made it clear. This is even for the people who are uttering nonsense, even for the nations whom God is laughing at and holds them in derision, as I just said. He's still being a good, loving God. It said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night shall not cease. Now, the predictions for global warming, climate change, have fallen into three categories: famine, which then pestilence, and then flooding. Famine, pestilence or disease, and flooding. Those are the things that we're gonna have famines, we're gonna have flooding, and there's gonna be a lot more disease. Now consider this passage. Write these down if you've got a pen and paper handy. And then tonight you can think about it when you're listening to your record player when you go to sleep. Okay, Matthew 24:7 says, in the last days there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Gee, what a quinky-dink. Jesus here, the Lord, says, in the last times, and we're in the last times, you're going to have these things. But mind you, he's not saying it's going to be because of of man-made global warming. Consider I'm going to break these down real quickly. Famines mentioned 98 times, and all but a few being historical, and these are the only ones God deemed necessary to tell us about. They're not unique. They were plenteous. And not that a warming anomaly couldn't bring on a drought or famine, but appears that this has been going on literally forever, and God has used it most of the times as a judgment, not because of global warming, most of the time judgment. Pestilence, same thing, mentioned 49 times. Nothing new here, same argument. Either global warming is just one of many things that could bring on pestilence. Or alternatively, all of the history examples were the result of a warm-up, which obviously had nothing to do with CO2 emissions. Right? You can't have it both ways. If the cause of global warming are these man-made activities, then we would have had it in the past. But pestilence oftentimes was a judgment by God. Not always, but frequently, these events were associated with a judgment. And if the global warming advocates wanted to acknowledge the role of sin and judgment in the mix, they would be a lot closer to the truth. The plagues of Egypt for Pharaoh's sin, David's sin for numbering the people, he had a choice of judgments and chose a plague. There's multiple examples of this going on through Scripture. But take a look at Job 38, 8-11. Write this down, Job 38, 8-11. And also, if you've got that real fast, you can take a look at Psalm 104, 9, where it says, "You, Lord, have set the boundary, that they, the waters, may not pass over." That they may not pass over. Proverbs 8:29 says, "The Lord has assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters will not transgress his command." There's a similar statement in Jeremiah 5:22, that the boundaries of our oceans, the boundaries of our land thereby, are set by God, not by man. So if God wants to raise the water level, he'll raise the water level. If he wants to lower the water level, he'll lower it. I mean, it's up to him. You know, I don't know why I lost my place here on the piece from Job, but I got to read it to you here because I got an asterisk next to it and I just lost my page on it. Okay, here we go. Job 38, 11. "And hitherto shalt thou know that the ocean, but no further," speaking God, speaking to the waters, "here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hitherto shall thou come, but no further," God's saying, "and here shall thou proud waves be stayed or stopped." God is just saying, and this is God speaking in Job. This isn't Job speaking or one of his loser friends. This is God speaking to Job. The waters don't get to come any farther than what I allow them to come. So science needs to fit with the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't have to jump around and be massaged to fit to alleged science. But here's the good news. You don't have to worry. Now, we are going to be taken care of. Pre-tribulation, in the tribulation, what have you. I am not a pre-trib guy. You guys know that by now. I don't see any support for it anywhere in Scripture, but that's another program. The fact of the matter is we could have a whole bunch of really, really, really bad stuff that we would like to call the Great Tribulation that happens here in the United States. It's not happening somewhere else because we're being judged for a sin. And you'd think it's a Great Tribulation. We're not even to the Tribulation. It's happened forever. The saints have been slaughtered and come under persecution and things of that sort. The word says, as I started out with, he's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. And while if we pray and confess our sin, as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, as one listener, Chris from North Carolina, wrote in, remember that passage. But remember also that our land is our land. It isn't necessarily the United States or the state of Virginia or the state of California. It's our land. Those people who would repent, their land will be healed. Their land. That's why, and I've heard these testimonies. Well, you know what? I don't have time. I'm running out of time here. The good news is we don't have to worry. The bad news is that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you'd better worry. Because there is a climate change coming. There is a global warming coming. And if you want to read about it, it's in 2 Peter 3, verse 10. Because it says, there coming a time when the earth will melt with a fervent heat. Melt with a fervent heat. Okay, Al Gore, this is the real inconvenient truth, my friend. And that is, the earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. And it's not going to be 1 degree over every 10 years Celsius or Fahrenheit. No, it's going to happen quickly. That you don't want to be around for. That is going to happen. And sometime we descend. I don't know how it all comes together. But I do know that we have a God who loves us, who has our best interests at heart, loves us more than any one of us loves each other. And he will make a way. He actually already has made the way. We just haven't come to that point in time where we're going to see exactly what that way is. God bless you all. Sit tall on the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. I'll see you next week.